Morning, today's Daf Tzvachim is Daf Gimel, second day of the Masechta. We are starting today on the very bottom of Beis Amud Beis. We are in the middle of various discussions that took place in the Beis Medrash previously. The night prior, there was a discussion amongst the Amoraim. Ravina says to Rav Papa, you really missed it. Last night we're having discussions and dialogue in the Beis Medrash. Rava was saying over Shir, Rava said wonderful things and you missed it. But apparently Ravina was more than happy to give her papa a chazar shir. And so what we're getting in the course of today's daf is some of the chazar shir from what occurred the previous night. Now, obviously that this discussion is placed in the middle of, not the middle, the beginning of the Masechta Zvachim, so obviously it relates to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah details the halakha of Shinui Kodesh. Shinui Kodesh is the idea by a karban where while the Kohen is doing one of the Dalai Avodos, so he has in mind that this karban is not the karban that he's working with, but a different karban. So, for example, Rashi brings down the first Rashi on the Mishnah. So, in other words, it's a karban ola, and the Kohen had in mind that he's going to shecht as a karban shlamim. So, such a shinui, such a change of designation does the following. It does not passel the karban, as we learned yesterday's Mishnah. The karban's still going to be a valid karban, but what it does is it creates detachment between the karban and its owner. The owner is no longer connected to the karban. The owner now, in order for him to receive a kapara, or in order to fulfill his neder, so what he has to do is he has to bring another carbon. But in other words, this carbon that he's bringing right now is no longer connected to him. That shinui, that change, that deviation that was made by the Kohen creates a detachment between owner and its carbon. So that's what we learned together back in the Mishnah on yesterday's daf. On that topic, so now we're in the middle of discussing what if there is no kavana, but what if it's tam? So that means to say that the Kohen, while doing the avoda, does not have an anti-kavana, but he also doesn't have the proper kavana. He has no kavana. Stam. So what we learned together is that in the world of Karbanos, that's good. It's fine. It works. And why? So as we learned yesterday, Rava's big yesod in terms of Kavana and in terms of lack of Kavana is that what is Omid Lakach. Omid Lakach, the idea is the direction where it's going. If I'm offering a Karban, I mean, I'm not going to be offering a Karban, I'm not a Kohen. But if a Kohen is offering a Karban, so what it's Omid to do, what it stands to do is be offered as a Karban. So in other words, since the direction in which it's going is a Karban, so you don't need positive Kavana. You just simply need no anti-kavana. I don't need kavana for something else. So that means to say that if it's tam, if you have no kavana whatsoever, it's going to be good. Masha Ein Kein, what we learned yesterday, what contrasted to the world of Gittin. In the world of Gittin, so there you need positive kavana. If a sofer is writing again on behalf of a man and a woman, he has to positively identify in his head, it's for this man and it's for this woman, and anything less than that, anything short of that, is simply not going to be good. In other words, an absence of kavana there is not good. Why? So as we learned in yesterday's Gemara, because when it comes to Anisha is not omedes legerishin. The direction she's not going is divorce. And as we learned yesterday in Tosfos, even if there's a good reason to get a divorce, but still. In other words, a woman is a married woman and will continue to be a married woman until the status gets changed and you need a positive input, a positive kavana, in order to change that status. So therefore, stamma is no good when it comes to gittin. That's what we learned yesterday. That was Rav's Yisod yesterday. And all we're going to be doing now in the beginning of today's shiur is we're just going to be identifying how do I know that by Gittin, I need a positive kavanah and stam doesn't work. And so that's what we're going to be doing in the beginning of today's shiur. V'gabe get. So we're beginning on Beis Amud Beis towards the bottom of the Amud. And the Gemara starts off the discussion that regarding Gittin, the b'stamah pasul minalan. How do I know that an absence of kavanah is not good when it comes to Gittin? So Elam and Mahadidnan, so the Gemara here is going to be quoting. Now this is a Mishnah on Chavdalit and Gittin, and really all we're going to be doing now, in the next little bit of Gemara, is we're going to be quoting the Mishnah piecemeal. There are four parts of the Mishnah, and basically we're going to look at each of the four parts of the Mishnah, trying to make a diak in each one of them, that you see that Stam doesn't work when it comes to Gittin. So here's part number one. Hi over Bishuk Vishama. So for Makranish Plani Girish Planis Mimakam Plani Va'amar. So let's say a guy's walking down the street and he happens to be walking by a sofer. And the sofer is now writing a get. And coincidentally, wow, the best of luck, or the worst of luck, I guess depends on how you look at it, how his marriage is going. But meanwhile, he's hearing now the people inside, this guy is writing a get from this person's name to his wife's name in such and such location. Va'amar, and the guy now who's passing over, now, he's not the one who the get is being written for, but he says to himself, Zeshmi v'zeshem ishti, you know, this is my name and it's my wife's name. So you know, there's no such thing as coincidence. There must be a reason why, as I'm passing by the sofer, a get is being written on behalf of these people. And meanwhile, that's my name, that's my wife's name. What an opportunity. So what pasul garish bo? So the Gemara says, so we can't use it to do gerishin. Okay. So what do you see over here? Because the sofer didn't have in mind that was him and it was his wife, so therefore, you need positive kavana. Anything short of positive kavana is not going to be good. The absence of positive kavana means stop. So the Gemara says, no, it's not such a good raya. Doma kedra papa, damra papa, hachabit sofrim, ha'asum li'islami naskinan, velo ichtav l'shom krisis klal. So the Gemara says, no, because maybe the ukimta over there in that Mishnah, the first part of the Mishnah, is that they weren't even writing the get for somebody. You know what they were writing the get for? Practice. In other words, if I can give a mashal, basically you weren't shooting with live bullets. You were shooting with you were shooting with blanks. In other words, so the get was not written for the purpose of krisus, and maybe that's the deficiency of the get. But maybe the Gemara, obviously, what I'm saying is not right. But at least we could argue this in the Mishnah. But maybe Lu Yitzu, had it been the case that they were writing it l'shem krisus, even though it wasn't for this guy, it wasn't for that woman, but maybe it would work. So the Gemara says, so that's not such a good raya. So Elameha. So they're now up to part two of the Mishnah. That Mishnah in Gittin. Yes, okay, Kasav Garish, Yeshisha, Venim Lach Matzo Ben Iro, Varmelo, Shmok Yishmecha, Veshem Yishikish, Yishmecha, Pasal Garish Po. Guy has to get written for him. Because he wants to divorce his wife. So now it's good, meaning for him it's good because the Lashma component was, it was written for him. But after he's holding the get now in his hand, he thinks about it more, thinks about how much he likes his wife. Okay, so there's some strain in the relationship, but he really likes her. He doesn't want to use it. But you know what? It happens to be that he's got a good friend who shares the same name as he does, and his wife shares the same name as his wife does, and he knows that that marriage isn't going so well. So he says, look, I'll manage. But you know what? My friend could really use it. Can I give my get now over to my friend, have him use it? So it was written with shame, Gerishin, just not for him, but for me. And the Mishnah teaches us, no good. Well, you can't use it. Ah, so what do you see? The problem is, it wasn't written for him, Lishma. So the Gemara says, but again, it's not such a wonderful riot. So the Gemara says, that's not a good example of stam. Because stamma means that it was written with no kavana. Over in that case, it was written for the principal person. So in other words, so maybe the argument over there is, it's worse than stama, because stama means no kavana. Over here, there was kavana for that guy, but not for that guy. So Elameha, so the Gemara says, okay, well, let's continue. Yeso, ken yesh lo shtei nashim, sheshmoseim shavos. Kasa v'garish es agdola v'lo yigarish, I'm sorry, lo yigarish bo es akatana. So let's say a man has two wives, and and to make the case even better, let's say the two wives have the same name. Probably confusing, but... Okay, far from me to understand a polygamous marriage, but anyway, and what he decides now is that he's going to use it to divorce his older wife, but then he decides, you know what? No, I'll stay with her, but you know what? There's another wife, however, with the same name, who, quite frankly, I gotta lighten the load somewhere. So even though the intent was for the older wife, but you know what? I'll keep her and I'll use it for the younger wife with the same name. So the Mishnah tells us, no, you can't use it to be Megarish as a katana. So once again, it seemingly what the issue is that it lacks the positive kavana. And again, the Gemara is now trying to use this as a platform, as a basis of teaching us that if you're missing if you're missing positive kavana, meaning stam, so then it's not going to be good. So once again, the deflection over here, Dumashani Hasam, Dintik Lilashem Gerishin, Dahi. So the Gemara says it's the same argument that we made in the previous point of the Mishnah, and that is, look, when the get was written, it was written for his older wife. It was written specifically for her. And once again, what the Gemara is arguing is that this is worse than Stam. Stam means that there was no kavana. Over here, there was kavana, but for a different person. So the Gemara says it's not a good raya. Elamei Hasa, the Gemara says, okay, why don't we consider now from the following? Yes, sir, Al Kain. Amar lelavlar, kasav la'ezah she'erza agaresh. So let's say he goes over to the sofer and he says the following to the sofer. Look, I got two wives, they have the same names. I tell you the truth, I like them both equally, I dislike them both equally. Right now, I don't want to get rid of both, but I do want to divorce one of them. So write for me again, and look, it's your job is easy because they have both have the same name. And I'll make a decision. I'll make a determination at a later point in time in terms of which one of the two I'm going to divorce. Okay, is that good? And the Mishnah tells us it's not good. The Mishnah says, Pasul l'garish bo. You can't use such a get. Now here, it's actually seemingly a better raya. Why? Because over here, when the Sofer wrote it, the Sofer wrote it didn't write it for either one of them specifically. The Sofer wrote it for his wife. And again, he has two of them, and they have the same name. So we're not, and right now, he's not sure which one he's going to divorce, but he wants to divorce one of them. So, l'chora, this is the case of Stam. And what the Mishnah is telling us is, pasul l'garish, but you can't use it. So this seems to be good raya. But the Gemara says, even here, it's not the best raya. Dilmashani asam de'ein breira. So the Gemara over here says, well, over here, there could be that we subscribe to the position of ein breira. And yesh breira, ein breira, a concept that comes up again and again throughout Shas. The idea behind breira is retroactive determination. Meaning, after a decision is made, can we say that the roots of that decision happened actually at an earlier point in time? Even though it wasn't perfectly clear at an earlier point in time, but the later determination tells us that really, it was this way all along. We didn't see it that clearly. It's kind of like hindsight bias. So the Gemara says, so if it could very well be that over here, the reason why the get doesn't work is because ein breira, because we don't subscribe to breira. But then what it sounds like from the Gemara, and Tosos and Gittin discusses this, is that if we did subscribe to breira, so then maybe the get would work. And Tosos doesn't like that. So even though the way I explain the Gemara, ein breira, yesh breira, is that it's the classic presentation of what breira usually means to Achas, but Tosos over there and Gittin says, not necessarily. Okay. Ela meha. So finally the Gemara says, okay, this is the Mishnah, or I should say better, the part of the Mishnah that clearly makes the point that when it comes to Gittin, Stam by Gittin is no good. Hakosif Tosos Gittin, Tzarech Shianech, Makom Ha'ishu, Makom Ha'ishu, Makom Ha'edim, U'makom Ha'zman. When you write tofes aget, in other words, right, like yesterday, Baruch Hashem, I was at a chasna, and so what the way the ksuvas are done is that the ksuva is pretty much written out except for the name of the husband, name of the wife, name of the place, in other words, you know, the personal information. So if you're writing tofes aget, it's the same thing. So you write basically the nusach aget, you write the basic format of the get, and then what you do is you leave out the obviously the personal information. The name of the man, name of the woman, name of the witnesses, name of the place, the time. V'am Rav Yehuda HaMashmol, Avtzar Chiyanich Makom Harei Ad Muter Sechol Adam. And says Rav Yehuda HaMashmol, also you have to leave out one line for the get, that last line has to be filled in right there, which is Harei Ad Muter Sechol Adam, you are permitted to any person. Now why is that so critical? Meaning why does that have to be left out? Why does that have to be written specifically at the time of the get? And the answer is because if you wrote that earlier, so when you wrote that line, you did not have kavana for this man to be divorcing this woman, meaning it's a failure of lishma. And so therefore, what the get has to be done in order to be written lishma is the line of harei amuter sechol adam has to be left out and written specifically for this man or for this woman. Why can't you just write it and say simply, okay, but stam? And the answer is because stam doesn't work when it comes to getting. This is the Mishnah, and it's fun, it's not even the Mishnah. It's the comment of Rav Yehuda HaMashmol on the Mishnah, but this is the point where it's made most clear that if I don't have positive kavana of the get, in other words, the get's written b'stam and not l'shma, it's not going to be a good get, and it's pasul l'garishba. Okay, adkan. That really is the end of yesterday's daf. It was just simply the end of the point yesterday, that when it comes to getting, a woman is not omer l'garishin, and that's why you need positive kavana in order to create a period of separation between man and woman. Masha Enke, when it comes to a carbon is omed for hakrava, and therefore if you have no kavana, if the kohen has no kavana, so it's not going to passel the carbon. In fact, just the opposite. In other words, it's heading in that direction. So his lack of kavana and the absence of kavana means it was good. Surami Milsachrita. Okay, so that was discussion number one that took place in the base measure and the night prior, and that was point number one of Rava. Point number two, Su Rami Milsachrita, there was another topic of discussion that was under consideration. Meaning, once again, this is the Ravina Rav Papa conversation of what took place in the base medrash on the night prior. Mi Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Chata Sheshachta L'Shem Ola Psula Shachta L'Shem Chulin Kshera. So we start with the statement of Rav, and the statement of Rav goes like this. Shinui Kodesh, which was yesterday's daf, which we continue now to discuss, meaning that there was a change of designation of the carbon. When the Kohen had the carbon, it was a... now we're going to use the example of Chatos, and we know why, because here it's not just attachment. It creates a Psul HaKarbon. The carbon now is disqualified. So if let's say you have a Chatos, and Neshecht L'Shem Ola, so it's no good. Psula. Okay? Disqualified. Like we learned in yesterday's Mishnah. However, Shecht L'Shem Chulin, But let's say you change the designation well past the point of another carbon, but you say a non-consecrated animal, otherwise known as chulin. So under those circumstances, kshera. And you know why it's kasher? So the Gemara spells it out. Alma demina machriba, the lav mina lo machriba. So here now, we're going to be spending a lot of time in today's daf discussing this concept of mina. Meaning, if you're in the same ballpark, that's more of a problem. If you're outside the ballpark, if you will, I say b'derech mashal, so then it's less of a problem. Look, I have a carbon chatas and I now do a shino and I make a change of designation. Moving it now, trying to move it from a chatas to an olah. Okay? So there, I'm still in the world of carbonos. I'm in the ballpark of carbonos. As a result of that, you have disqualified the carbon. However, if, let's say, it is a carbon chatas and I say, you know what, I'm shechting it l'shem chulin. You're so off base. And because you're so off base, it does not adversely affect the carbon. It's basically tantamount to having no kavana. In other words, because you're so off base by saying, I'm shechting l'shem chulin, it's basically, you omit it, you delete it, and you're back to the point of being stam. And this is the statement to Rav, and this is now, the way the Gemara articulates it is mina machriv ba. The closer it is, the worse it is. The further off you are, the less it's going to affect it. Verimenu. I mean, again, I say this b'derech mashal. Imagine you get insulted with something that is, you know, not exactly you, but, you know, a slight exaggeration of some of your worst traits. You're going to get offended. If somebody, however, comes at you with an insult that has nothing to do with you, so you'd be like, okay. So the closer you are, the worse it's going to be. Now the Gemara says, now is this true? V'rimenu kol hageshen nechtav shelo l'shem isha pasol ve'afilu l'shem avaros kochavim nami pasol. So, and meanwhile, when it comes to getting, let's say you write the get and you give it a wrong lishma, and let's say the lishma that you give it is, let's say, for example, a non-Jewish woman. Right? Non-Jewish woman, meaning, so you have that kavana of a non-Jewish woman. Now, when it comes to a non-Jewish woman, it's lav mina, right? And we're talking now in the context of getin, meaning, is there such a concept of get when it comes to a woman? Of course, a non-Jewish woman? Of course not. Meaning, there's no institution of marriage. When it comes to a Jew and a non-Jew, there's no institution of marriage. There's no tfisas kedushin. And so, for sure, there's no such thing as getin. So when the sofer has in mind, when he's writing the get, it's l'shem avodas kochavim, this non-Jewish woman, so what should that be? That should be a case of lav mina, and therefore it should be okay. But the Gemara says, and meanwhile the halacha is, it's not okay. So the Gemara says, that's the question. But the answer is, it's kind of self-evident. The Gemara spells it out. Vishani get the dala vodesko chavim mine havele stama. Visam apostle. So the Gemara says, well, let's go back to what we said at the end of yesterday's daf, the beginning of this morning's shir, and that is, look, when you're writing a get and you have in mind a vodas kochavim and it's totally off base, so what are we going to say? Okay, so basically you had no kavana. No kavana by gittin? Well, that goes back to what we discussed in the beginning of Shir. That's no good. Meaning, by gittin, you need a positive kavana. However, kachim dachula minayhu, havalei stama v'stama ksherim. However, when it comes to a carbon and you had in mind, the kohen had in mind, no, the carbon b'chulin, so basically fine, so omit it. Meaning, he said something that was so far off, that was so off base, that now you can basically say, just delete what he said. Now, if you delete what he says, so we're back to yesterday's discussion. So now it's stam kavana, as we learned in yesterday's Gemara. Stam meaning no kavana when it comes to karban, is fine. And therefore it's going to be kosher. Fine. Rama Milsa Achrita, and then on top of that, there was another discussion that was had. Mi Amar Yud Amar Rav Chata Sheshach L'Shem Ola P'sul Sheshach L'Shem Chulim Kshera Amad Dimina Machriv Ba Dala Mina La Machriv Ba V'atanya. So the Gemara simply sets up Rav once again that if it was a carbon chatas and the Kohen had an Ola in mind, Pasul. If it was a carbon chatas and the Kohen had a Chul in mind, Kasher. Like we just got done saying. The Gemara says, I'll tell you the problem is the following, Brisa V'atanya. Now, before we start with this brisa, crash course in Tumat Tahara as it applies to Kli Cheres. When you have an earthenware utensil, and let's say it's a jug with an interior. So we know the halacha is like this. So first of all, with the Kli Cheres, there's no means of being Matari. You cannot tovel in the mitzvah. You can, but it's not going to be effective. There's no Tahara for a Kli Cheres. The only thing you do with a Kli Cheres once it becomes Tameh is you break it. Then on top of that, in terms of how the Kli Cheres becomes Tame, so it becomes Tame only mitocho, not migabo. Meaning that the source of Tumah, in this case, let's talk about a Sheretz, because that's primarily what we're going to be discussing here. So if I have a Sheretz, one of the Shmona Sheretzim, we mentioned in last week's Parsha, here in America, in Eretz Yisrael 2 weeks ago. So in last week's Parsha, so we spoke out that there are 8 Sheretzim that are a source of Tumah, that are Mitame, and if I have one of the Shmona Sheretzim, one of the 8 crawly items, found dead inside a Kli Cheres, now the Kli Cheres is Tame. And anything in the interior of the Kli Cheres is also going to be Tame as well. On top of that, a contrast, if let's say the Sheretz only came into contact with the outside of the Kli Cheres is not Tame, and anything interior of the Kli Cheres is not going to be Tame as well. Okay, that's the basic Yesodas as it relates to a Kli Cheres. And now here's what we're going to learn together in the upcoming Braisa. When it comes to a Kli Cheres, so we say Tocho is going to be Tame, meaning that if the Sheretz is inside the Kli Cheres, anything interior to that Kli Cheres is going to be Tame. So if I have a Sheretz and I have food inside the Kli Cheres, so the food's going to become Tame. And the Sheretz doesn't have to touch the food, meaning just by virtue of the fact that they are both interior to the Kli Cheres, so therefore there's a transmission of Tuma from the Sheretz to the food. And there does not have to be contact. Okay, this is the basics. It's the ABCs of Tumas Kli Cheres. What we're learning now together in the Brayso is the following. If I have a Kli inside of a Kli Cheres, anything inside the Kli in the Kli Cheres is going to be Tahor. Meaning, when we say Tochen, when we say interior, we only mean interior to the Kli Cheres. But if I have a Kli inside the Kli, so that is not, anything inside the interior Kli is not considered interior to the outer Kli, and therefore it's not going to be Tameh.
It's covered, the inner
Kli? Now, that's a great question. Rashi over here, when describing the inner Kli, Rashi says that the lip of the inner Kli is going above the outer Kli. So that means to say that it's basically, it is not totally enveloped in the interior. That there is an exhaust, if you will, of the inner Kli going to the outside. That's the way Rashi describes it. That was a good question, a good clarification. Okay? Now with that stated, so let's now learn, Now that we know the basics, let's go even one step further. V'atayin, we learned in the following braisa. Tocha v'lo toch tocha. So everything I just said, the Gemara was able to encapsulate in 4 words. Gemara speaks much shorter way than I do. But in other words, the Gemara, of course, assumes that we knew all the basics. And now, tocha v'lo toch tocha. Anything interior to the Kli Cheres, but anything interior to the interior, is not going to be tamei. V'afilu Kli Shetev. V'afilu Kli Shetev Matzo. Now, not only is this halacha true if the interior kli is made up of the Kli Cheres, which of course makes all the sense in the world. Meaning if the interior kli is a Kli Cheres, so as we already established, a Kli Cheres is not Tame Migaba, only Mitocho. So one can easily imagine how, when I have a kli inside of a kli, and something is inside the inner kli, and that inner kli is made up of Kli Cheres, so that makes all the sense in the world. But here is where the Chiddush comes about, and here's where the problem presents itself. Even if the inner Kli is not made up of a Kli Cheres, let's say the inner Kli is made up of metal. Now we know metal, now the Gemara here describes it as Kli Shetef. You know why the Gemara calls it a Kli Shetef? Kli Shetef because literally it means it's a Kli you can rinse, because something made up of metal, if it becomes Tame, what do? Put it in the mikvah. So that's why it's called Kli Shetef. So if the inner Kli is made up of metal, as an example, that too is going to be Matzil. Meaning this as well is going to protect that which is inside the inner Kli and prevent it from becoming Tame. Now, think this through, says the Gemara. I can easily understand if it's a Kli Cheres inside another Kli Cheres, so that's Mina. But over here, if I have a Kli Shetif inside of a Kli Cheres, that's the Lo Mina. That's something which is totally, it's in a different category. It's something totally different. How can the inner Kli made up of metal be a protective element, be protective from the Tumah elements? It's Lav Mina, and the Gemara articulates this question. So the Gemara says, well, misunderstood. Meaning when it comes to Chulin and Kachim, meaning if I want to put side by side the concept of Chulin and the concept of Kachim, they are so dissimilar to one another. You know what it's like? It's like putting a wall inside of an oven. Ma mechitza eitzel tano lo mehanya, la, klal, avchulin eitzel kasha lo mehanya le klal. If you would like to make a comparison of the world of kashim and the world of taharos, the better comparison would be chulin, and it sounds like we're taking the SAT right now. It's a, right, chulin to kashim is like mechitza to an oven. Meaning when we say oven, we're talking about an oven made up of the kli cheres. Meaning. Chulin to kashim we get. Meaning kashim obviously is carbon and chulin means non-carbon. They're so dissimilar. One is not going to affect the other. Like a wall inside of an oven. Meaning when I have a kli cheres oven, it's basically, once again, it's a kli cheres with a toch. Let's say I built a wall in the oven. Is that wall in the oven going to separate one side of the oven to the other side of the oven? No. It's not going to create separation. Because the idea behind a kli cheres is simply interior. It's compartmentalized inside the oven. Who cares that it's compartmentalized inside the oven? Are we interior to the oven? If the answer is yes, so tuma will transmit from one side of the wall to the other side of the wall. If I have a sheretz on one side of the wall, and I have food on the other side of the wall, everything is interior, and therefore the tuma will easily transmit from one side to the other. So a wall in a kli cheres is like chulin to kashim, meaning they're simply not speaking the same language at all, and so therefore, just like chulin and kashim are so dissimilar, a wall inside of a kli cheres is so dissimilar. So, but in other words, but what the Gemara is arguing is that when I have a kli inside of a kli, it's not so dissimilar. One's made up of a kli cheres and the other one's made up of metal. Who cares? Meaning, okay, they're made up of different materials, but when all said and done, that's a kli and that's a kli. In fact, what I'm basically saying is the lashon Rashi. See Rashi three lines down. V'shani hachasu chulin etzel kashim klamar la'olam d'lav minei lo machrib bei. If we're in a different category, it doesn't affect it at all. Ukli shetav etzel kli cheres minehu. When I'm talking about a metal kli versus an earthenware kli, it's not two different worlds. It's the same world. Dehamana, vehamana. One is a kli and the other is a kli. Avachulin etzel kashim havei d'lav minei kemechitza etzel tanor. However, when we're talking about chulin and kashim, we are in such different worlds. It's really no different than having a having like a wall in an oven. Just like two totally different concepts. And the Gemara and the Gemara continues along this line. Ditnan. And the Gemara over here quotes a Mishnah. Tanu shechitzu b'nesarim. O b'yirios. Let's say the Gemara is just quoting the Mishnah over here to make the point that we just made. Let's say I have an oven and I put beams inside the oven. So in other words, basically like I compartmentalize the oven with like these little walls inside the oven, made up of beams or ureas or curtains. Vidims the sheretz by Malkum Echad, Hakol Tame. If a sheretz is in one of the compartments of the oven, the entire oven is Tame. Similarly, the Gemara quotes now, it seems to be a Tosefta. Kavershi Pesucha Upekuka Bekash. Let's say I have a beehive that is open and stuffed with hay. I don't have a great visualization of this beehive, but I do know the following Rashi says it. Vis-a-vis the beehive is not a kli. In other words, we do not treat it like a kli. And Mushishals la'avir atanur. And let's say now this beehive is now suspended in the interior of the oven. Again, the oven is an earthenware oven. Sheretz besocha tanur tamay. If there's a sheretz inside the beehive, and again, the beehive is not a kli. If there's a sheretz inside the beehive, the sheretz now is interior to the oven, and therefore the entirety of the oven is tamay. Similarly, sheretz betamar ochlin shebesocha tamay. If I have a sheretz in the oven, so then any food that's in the beehive is going to be tamay as well. In other words, interior. Once I have something interior to the oven, a wall or a beehive, if it's not a kli, it's not going to create any type of chatzitza, meaning everything is considered interior. The only thing that could save in the interior of a kli is the interior of another kli inside the kli. If I have another kli inside the kli, then and only then are we going to save that which is inside, because again, it's not considered interior to the kli, it's considered toch tocho. Now, Rabbi Elazar Metaher, the only problem with this entire discussion is that there is another opinion over there, in that discussion of ovens with walls, beehives within an oven, and that is that Rabbi Eliezer says in such a scenario, it's tahor. meaning that if I have walls inside an oven and I have sherets on one side of the wall and I have food on the other side of the walls actually do compartmentalize the interior of the oven. How did Rabbi Eliezer arrive at that conclusion? We don't have to guess. The Gemara tells us. And Rabbi Eliezer now bases himself on a kal v'chomer, a logical argument. And the logical argument goes as follows. How can a wall not be a chatzitza, not be a division? A wall is able to divide an ohel vis-a-vis tumas meis. Now we know tumas meis is a much more serious form of tuma than that of a sheretz. If a wall can serve as a barrier for tumas meis by an ohel, it for sure can serve as a barrier in the interior of a kli cheres. This is the kal v'chomer of Rabbi Eliezer. Now, if the kal v'chomer doesn't sound so good to you, so amru lo, they say to Rabbi Eliezer, lo, I don't buy your kal v'chomer at all. Im hitzel b'meis chamor shekein chaluka ba'oalin. Tatza b'kli cheres hakal she'in chalukin ba'oalin. Do you know why a wall divides for tumas meis? Because the conduit of tumas meis is oal. Meaning you need a tent. A tent is made up of walls and a roof above. So in other words, the reason why if I put up a wall inside of an OL, it divides is because this is one OL and that's a different OL. But you can't take the concept of walls and OLOs by Tumas Meis and then bring it over to Kli Cheres. Kli Cheres, the conduit of Tuma is not that it's an OL, it's that just simply interior, Toch. So there are two different concepts that are guiding the rules of Tumah vis-a-vis an OL and vis-a-vis that of a Kli Cheres. And just because a wall works by an OL does not necessarily mean that a wall is going to work by a Kli Cheres. So the Chachamim dismiss the argument of Rabbi Eliezer. So now that we're here, so basically, we have basically made the point. Let's just wrap up the point again, although the Gemara does still continue with this discussion. But the point over here being that if it's mina, the closer it is, the worse it is. The more distant it is from one another, the worse off we are. And what the Gemara is bothered by is that we know the halacha is that the interior of a kli cheres, anything inside, is going to become tameh, meaning if I have a sheretz and I have food, inside the kli cheres, and even if they're not touching, still, the transmission of tumah will go from the sheretz over into the food. And by the way, make the kli cheres also tummy as well. And what bothered us is that we have the halacha of toch but not toch tochel. That if I have another kli inside the kli cheres, so that's going to save anything that is interior to the inner kli. And it doesn't matter if the inner kli is made up of earthenware or if it's made up of even metal. Meaning it doesn't matter. In other words, the halacha is tochel velo toch tochel. And it bothered us because, well, aren't they two different things? And the answer of the Gemara effectively is they're not two different things. In other words, this is a kli, and that's a kli. The Gemara says if you want to make a better comparison, make it to walls. Do walls work inside of a kli cheres? The answer is almost fundamentally no. Now, I say almost because there's a sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, which we just saw. But in other words, do walls work in a kli cheres? According to the Chachamim, no. Walls don't work in a kli cheres. So if you want to make a comparison, the better comparison of kachem to chulin is going to be walls inside of a kli cheres. Okay. Two totally different ideas. The Gemara says... Yeah. Right, but we're just talking about the idea of walls being able to compartmentalize that which is inside of a kli cheres. And it doesn't. So the Gemara says, HaTeinach, now this entire discussion worked out very well, li rabbanan. But li rabbi lezer ma'ikel ha-meimar. But as we just learned together, according to Rabbi Eliezer, he thinks that walls do work inside of a kli cheres. Now, how is all this going to work out according to Rabbi Eliezer? So Rabbi Eliezer, kavachomer kamer. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Rabbi Eliezer had a kavachomer. The Gemara says, yeah, yasam nami, lema kavachomer, kachem echalen, kachem echalen, kachem, chulin lakoshekein. Well, if you like the kavachomer in the world of Tumah Tahara, why don't we take the same kavachomer and apply it also to the world of kachem? Look, if I have a different carbon in mine, that creates a problem. If I have something which is even further away, meaning chulin, shouldn't that even create a bigger problem? Meaning, so that kal v'chomer now should lead us to what we know to be an incorrect conclusion, that shinui kodesh, when it comes to something that is so dissimilar, should create a problem. So, ala time of the Rav Rabbi Lazar. To Amar Rabbi Lazar. So the Gemara says, okay, But the basis behind Rav's position is that he's following that of Rabbi Elazar. My time, the Rav, what's the reason behind Rav? Because v'lo yichalu is kachay b'nei Yisrael sasher yirimu l'Hashem. The pasuk says that you're not allowed to profane kachay b'nei Yisrael. Kachay mechalim kachin v'ein chul mechalim kachin. What can upset a karban? What can disqualify or at least disconnect a karban from its owner? Only another karban. But if while shechting you had a chul in the mind, it affects it not at all. So Amma Asakra Vafke Mekavachomer. So the Gemara says, so what do we see over here? That even if I subscribe to Rabbi Elazar's Kavachomer, what do we just learn together? We have a drasha. And what the drasha does is that the drasha upends the Kavachomer Rabbi Elazar. Hachanami Lesitocha Lifke Mekavachomer. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, now let's go back to the world of Tumat Tahara. So what did Rabbi Elazar say? If I have walls inside of a Klicheris, it divides the Klicheris, compartmentalizes it. So that Tumah on one side, Asheretz on one side, and food on the other side, do not communicate one to the other. How did Rabbi Eliezer know that? Based on a Kavachomer. But don't we have a Drasha? And isn't the Drasha going to now upset the Kavachomer Rabbi Eliezer? Haitocha mibayle lochlan shigivlan betit. V'ichnisan la'avirtaner. So the Gemara says no, because as far as the Drasha is concerned, that's coming to teach me a different halacha, and the halacha goes like this. Let's say I have a food that's encrusted. Now, it happens to be encrusted in something that's not edible. The Gemara gives mortar as an example. So now the food is sealed with a non-edible substance. And now I take this, right, this basically the stone with food inside of it, and I throw it into a kli cheres. And inside of it, what else do we have? We have a sheretz. So now, is there going to be communication of tumah? So let's think this through. Meaning, what is the conduit of tumah in a kli cheres? Interior. As long as the two of them are interior. So Rabbi Elazar says, here's the havamina you would have had. There can never be physical contact between the sheretz and the food, because the food's encrusted. So, and by the way, here I mean it in the most literal sense when I say encrusted, meaning a crust of something that's not edible. So there can never be physical contact between the sheretz and the food. So you can now make the argument, well, if there can't be physical contact, so then maybe Avir Kli Cheres also is not going to be a means of transmission of Tumah. Because what Rabbi Eliezer is thinking conceptually, abstractly, is that the way that Avir Kli Cheres works is basically, it's a form of Negiah. It's a subcategory of Negiah. And so therefore, if there's no opportunity for Negiah, so then there'd be no opportunity for Kli Cheres as well. And what the Drasha is coming to teach me is, no, that's not true. Meaning, even though there can't be physical contact, but if they're both interior, it's going to be Tamei. And now, Virabanan, and now just wrapping up this part of the Gemara's discussion, and what's the Chachamim's counter-argument to that? Chachamim's counter-argument is, Hanachot Tzricha Kra. Well, I don't need a Pasuk. And what does that mean, I don't need a Pasuk? The Chachamim are saying to Rabbi Eliezer, I fundamentally disagree with how to look at the Avir Kli Cheres. The airspace of a Kli Cheres is not a conduit of Tumah through Negiah, or through some subcategory of Negiah. Do you know how Avir Kli Cheres works? Interior. Meaning, as long as you're sharing an interior, that is a different communication of Tumah. So even though the food was encrusted, I never would have thought otherwise that the food should be tahor, and that the encrustment should be saving the food. Because according to the Chachamim, the way to look at Avir Kli Cheres is that it's just a form of transmission of Tumah. As long as the Tumah and the food are interior to the Kli Cheres, so therefore there's a transmission of Tumah from one to the other. And it's not a subcategory of Negiah, and I don't need a Pasuk to teach me otherwise. Or I should say better, to teach me that particular point. Okay. That ends that discussion of the Gemara. So we have now finished really two points for today. One, we finished yesterday's discussion of Stam, meaning that when you're shechting a karban, a shinui, a deviation from the proper intent is going to be a problem. But if you have no kavana by karban, that's going to be good. Albeit by gerushin, that's not going to be good. But as we pointed out, we know the difference between the two. A karban is omed li karev. A isha is not omed li zgaresh. The second point that we made today is that when you're making a deviation and it adversely affects the karban, that is only going to be a case where the deviation is something which is similar. Something that is so dissimilar is not going to affect the karban whatsoever. So if I'm thinking about another carbon, that's a problem. If I'm thinking about something which is chulin, not a problem. In other words, it's lav mina, and therefore it's lo macher. Okay. Last discussion for today, as we round out the daf. We are on Gimel Amud Beis. We're at the two dafs. Rav Yosef Barami Rami Shinu Kodesh Shinu Abalim Umishani. Rav Yosef also asked a question, and Rav Yosef gave the following answer. Mi amarav chata sheshach l'shem chatas kshera l'shem ola psula. Rav is of the opinion that if I have a carbon chatas that was shach l'shem chatas, that would be okay. However, it was shach l'shem ola, that would be pasol. Ama delav mine machriba, demina lo machriba. Now the case over here of chatas l'shem chatas, it goes as follows. Chata sheshach l'shem chatas. Let's say, for example, I have a carbon chatas where the person was required to bring a chatas because he ate chalef. And and when shechting the carbon, the Kohen had in mind the right person, but chatas of dam. In other words, but he thought that what the person did was eat blood. This is going to be discussed more extensively a little bit later on in the perek. So, the chatas that shechted l'shem chatas would be kasher. However, shech l'shem ola would be pasul. So what do you see? The lav mina machriv, as I'm moving further away, it's more dissimilar, that's more destructive, but the mina la machriv. But the closer in similarity, well, that's okay. V'hamra merav chatos sheshachtos ha'mishim mechuyev chatos psula, ha'mishim mechuyev ola k'shera. On the other hand, if let's say the Kohen had the wrong person in mind, the other person, let's say, was chayev a karmen chatos, that's a problem. The other person was chayav a carbon ola, well, that's okay. And over here, now we're saying the exact opposite. Meaning when I have another person in mind, if the other person's chayav a carbon chatas, which is more similar, that's a problem. If the other person is chayav a carbon ola, that is dissimilar, and therefore that's okay. Amo de bar mina machriba, de lav mina lo machriba. So when it comes to shinui bailim, if the other person is chayav the same carbon, more of a problem. When the other person is chayav a different carbon, less of a problem. Omishani hasam v'shacharos alechatas amrechmana v'arechatas l'shem chatas nishchata. So the Gemara says like this. Look, in the case where the Kohen just got the wrong iser, but in other words, but it's a carbon chatas that he shechted l'shem carbon chatas, so therefore it's effective. It serves as a kapara. Hacha, but over here when it's a change of bailim, v'chiper alav. Meaning that when you have a different owner in mind, meaning, when I say different owner, I mean not the owner. When you have a different owner in mind, a different person in mind, that only creates a problem when the other person is similar to the principal owner. Shemechuyev kapara, where that other person needs kapara kamosa. So, but over here, where the other person doesn't require a kapara, so it is literally off, it's totally off base, totally off topic, and therefore doesn't create a problem.
I'm sorry, didn't we not learn earlier that if the Kohen has a designation which is of higher Kedusha?
That's one opinion in the Mishnah. That's a later opinion in the Mishnah. Right now we're just operating with the first opinion in the Mishnah.
The Chatat requires Semicha, no?
Yes.
So Semicha, during a Semicha, I would say what he's doing.
Right, but we're talking about having a Shinui during the Avoda, meaning during Shrita,
after he
Kabbalah,
Semicha,
right,
after
correct,
he said the,
correct.
What he's bringing for,
correct.
Then change? How can it be changed? Because he already said Semicha.
In other words,
hand on it and say, this is
what do you mean, how can he change? He did. Meaning, the Gemara is operating with a case in which he did. He made a Shinui during one of the Avodas. And now we're looking at the effect.
The Kohen did.
Yeah, correct. Rami Shinui Balem Sheshachta Amisha Mechuyev Chatas Psula Amisha Mechayev Ola Kshera. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, Rav Chavim Rami Shinui Balem Atoch Tocho. Rav Chavim asked the following question from Shinui Balem onto the Halach of Toch Tocho. Umishan. Umi Amar Rav Chatas Sheshachta Amisha Mechuyev Chatas Psula Amisha Mechuyev Ola Kshera. So again, we're looking at where the Kohen had a different owner in mind, or a different person in mind. If the other person was chayav a carbon chatas, that's more of a problem. If the other person was chayav a carbon ola, that's less of a problem. Ama demina machriv ba, lav mina lamachriv ba. And again, that brings us to the conclusion that we've been working with for most of today. The more similar it is, the more it's a problem. The more dissimilar is, the less of a problem. On the other hand, vatanya. But we learned in the Braisa. Tocha v'lo toch tocho. Afilu klishet of masil. And meanwhile, as we learned in today's daf, when I have a kli that is inside of a kli cheres, so anything inside the inner kli is saved. And even if that inner kli is not made up of kli cheres, even if that inner kli is made up of metal, it's still going to save that which is interior. So the Gemara says, so even though the two kelim are not similar to one another, still the inner kli serves as a protective, as a protective edge against the tumah that's inside the kli cheres, even though they're not similar. And didn't we say that if some things are so dissimilar from one another, so basically it should be ignored? I should be ignoring the inner kli if it's not made up of kli cheres. And the answer, mishani arba tochuk siv. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what? Drasha. Meaning, if it were just left up to a svara, you're right. But it's not left to a svara. It's actually a drasha. It says tocho four times. It doesn't say tocho four times. It says tocho twice. But what the Gemara is doing over here is darshin toch, o. Toch, o. So in other words, the extra vav at the end. So there are four drashas. Arba tocho ksive. Toch, tocho, toch, tocho. One is telling us the basic halacha that anything interior is that if you have food that's interior to the kli cheres and the sheres interior, it's going to be tamei chad legzer shava. So the and the other one is gzer shava. The gzer shava comes to teach us that even if the sheres itself is not touching the walls of the kli cheres, still as long as it's interior, that everything else in the interior is going to be tamei as well. Chad le tocho shozev lo tocho shal acher. So that is coming to exclude kli shetef, meaning this halacha is specific only to kli cheres and not to a jug that's made up of another material. And finally, v'lo tocho shalcher, idach tocho, v'lo toch tocho, v'afil kli shetef matzil. And finally, the last halacha is what we're learning together, is that if I have another kli inside of this kli, that which is inside the inner kli is considered not interior to the kli, and therefore is going to be saved from it. Meaning, it's a drasha. Now that it's a drasha, so even though the svara is a very good svara, the svara that mina is machriv and lav mina is lo machriv, that's a very good svara. In this particular case, the drasha tells us otherwise. So that's the Gemara's conclusion over here. Conclude, obviously, over here. Tomorrow we pick it up in the very top of Dalam and Aleph.